while the invitation was going on this morning, I had a thought that I had to stop and write down while the invitation was going on. I had a thought for tonight, and that's the way my mind works. I got a lot of people up there working. There's a lot of people up there busy, and my secretary wasn't working this morning, so I had to fill it out myself. So I want to look at some things, some thoughts tonight. Give you some thoughts, I may even come across a series with this. I don't know. It was a thought, and I believe with all my heart the Lord impressed on my heart during the invitation, and I've thought about it all afternoon, and I can't get shut of it. So we're going to give you some things that we have looked at in the Word of God and some thoughts tonight. And so you help yourself. Anybody got a word for the Lord? You help yourself. If not, we're going to give you a few things. Go ahead. How about that? Father, I come this evening, and again, I acknowledge how great you are. You know that already, but Lord, I want you to know that I appreciate you, love you, and not just to put on a show. There ain't nobody like you. What you do in my life is amazing, and I deserve nothing, and you give me everything, so thank you. Lord, help me now. Lord, you give me some thoughts, and Lord, I don't want to be out of place, or I don't want to... I just want to magnify your name tonight. That's what I want, Lord. I want us to learn and I want us to grow. And Lord, I want us to be what you want us to be. And Lord, tonight I'm asking that you would give me power, cleanse me that I would not be a hindrance to the message, and then give me a power that I might be able to present it as you see fit. Preach me as you want me to preach, not as I desire to preach. And Lord, whether it be preaching or teaching or exhorting, however you want me to do it, then I'll gladly do. But Lord, I pray that our minds will be attentive now, that our hearts will be open to receive your word. Give me power to preach it, give others power to hear it, and then Lord, give us all power to live it, I pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name, and amen. As I was finishing up here this morning, and the Lord laid a thought, I feel like he impressed upon me a certain thought. This week, as I told you, I've been thinking a lot about Memorial Day, and we don't watch a lot of TV. We watch, like I told you before, we'll watch Wheel of Fortune if we get an opportunity. When it's dark, we don't watch TV when it's daylight, usually. We'll watch a little bit of Perry Mason and go to bed. That's about the extent of our TV. All right. But when there's holidays come around, like Memorial Day and Veterans Day and 4th of July and 1st of June on D-Day, I always scroll through the TV to see to see how much patriotism that we've lost in our country, to see if there's only going to be any movies or anything on pertaining to that. That's what I look for. And I get aggravated because there's nothing on prime time anymore. So you've got to look to the history channels and things, which that's okay. But that's what this thing just went through my mind this week. But the word that keeps coming through my mind through all that is commitment. As I preached on or spoke of all the things done for Memorial Day this morning, there was the little thing in your bulletin about those who've died. And I thought about the commitment that these soldiers have had to die for our country. I'm sometimes wondering if we understand commitment. Now, people would say, well, you need to preach on commitment when the church is full. Well, it has nothing to do with whether the church is full or empty. The truth is truth regardless. All right? And we're not preaching for crowds. We're preaching to just truth. But what come on my mind this afternoon is our thoughts are wrong, and I am guilty, and I'm still studying whether or not I'm so wrong I need to repent of it or not. I don't know that I understand. I am guilty of saying this. that we need a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all said that, have we not? And I've preached it, I've said so, but I looked at that, I can't find it. I can't find the personal relationship in the Bible. Now, I find He's my Savior, but what I find is a corporate relationship. Everybody follow me? I believe what we've done, we've turned our life into personal relationships. That's why there's no commitment. And the Bible teaches a corporate relationship. And we'll give you a few thoughts, and then we'll give you some keys here. But I just want you to hang with me for a minute. All right? And now each person has to personally trust Christ, correct?
Yes.
We know that.
Yes.
That salvation comes to an individual, that is whosoever will let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Everybody follow me there?
Yes.
And that we know that. That's Bible. That part is Bible. All right? Whosoever believeth. It's all through the Scripture. Okay? But as far as personal relationship, let's look. We're going to read a few scriptures, then we'll give you a couple of thoughts, and we'll go home. Romans chapter 12. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. And I believe maybe you'll get the gist of what we're thinking. Romans chapter 12. Let's look at verse 4 and 5. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. It says, For as we have many members in what?
One body,
and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. But I don't see where I'm supposed to single myself out. So my relationship with the Lord and with the church and with the things of God is not personal, but it's corporate. Because we're one body. That makes sense to you? Talk to me if I'm making sense to you. Now look over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, I just let you see where my mind's run today. And as we look at some scripture, look at some things. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's start at verse 12, can we? For as the body is one. Let's just stop right there. What happens when you get saved? When you get saved, you're placed where? Into the body of Christ. How many bodies are they? They're one body. Is that your personal relationship? No, it's your corporate relationship. Everybody follow me? In other words, we're in this thing together. And we're one body. And I couldn't help but wonder, I have trouble since I had my stroke, or several strokes, little strokes. I have trouble with this left side. And Brother Rick understands what I'm talking about. Brother Boyd may understand a little bit. But I have trouble. I try to cover it well. I try not to let you see me falter or limp or anything else. I try to hide it. All right, not that I'm ashamed of it, but I don't want you to know, look at the preacher. I'm going to do what I do. But this arm don't go up. Now I can get it up, but it takes some effort to get it to go where this and here goes up, and that's my bad arm. Right. But this left side don't work. A lot of times you'll catch me swinging my leg because it don't bend right. I got a watch going up a step because that knee don't bend right. It don't have enough strength in it. Coming down a step is a lot easier than going up a step, unless I go one step at a time. Now, the reason I'm saying that is I just got one body. But it's necessary that everything works together. Because if it don't, then it hinders me. Everybody understand it? And I just want you to understand that the gist of this is getting us to see that we're not personal. My left arm, though it may do its own thing, it's because it don't work right. You follow me? When it does its own thing, it's because it's not working correctly. It's not in unison with the rest of my body. All right? My hands. Now, I still got some grip in my hands, but all of it don't work like it used to work, okay? And I have less in my left hand than I do my right hand. When I get tired, my speech is slurred. All right? And that's just from damage. I mean, that's just, I can't help that. All right? It's like... It's not because my mouth is dry. It's just my tongue gets thick, or I just can't talk point. But whatever the case may be. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is my body's not split. My body's together. And it says here, for as the body is one. All right? Now you'll get more of this as we go. For the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Okay? But it's still one body. It says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Now look at verse 19, very important. Now if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Not many bodies, one body. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. And that schism means division. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So we plainly see the personal relationship may stop just the very moment you get saved and become a corporate relationship that we're in this thing together. You follow me? See, it's just like ministry. I don't have a personal ministry as far as out for public ministry unless I come through the local church because of accountability. But yet we all have a personal witness. But that personal witness is for all of our Savior. See, I got to say, how many's got Jesus as a Savior? Anybody here got Jesus as a Savior? Anybody here got somebody else? No, we all got Jesus. He's all of our Savior. And my witness is for your Savior. Your witness is for my Savior. Everybody follow me? And we're in this thing together. Does everybody understand that? Good or bad? We're in the same together. And there's an eye, and there's a nose, and there's an ear, and there's a toe, and there's a leg, and there's an arm, and there's a hand, and there's a tongue, and we're all different, but we're all one body. Is everybody still sure about all that? How about Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Everybody still okay?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 says, "And hath put all things under his feet," speaking of Christ, "and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So we find there's number one body, and Christ is the head of it. And we can even read in Colossians chapter 1 that he is the head of the church, the first begotten from the dead, that he is the head of the church, but there's only one body. Is everybody with me on that? So my personal relationship, in a sense, stops after I get saved, because I have to come into the body, and then I come in here with y'all. And all of us together, and we're in this thing together from the very start to the finish. We're in this thing together. And there's no big I's or little U's. There's no one that can say they're better. The comely parts are important as well as the main parts. All's not an eye, all's not an ear. If everybody be an ear, where's the smelling? Or everybody be an eye or ear, where's the smelling? As it says there. So we all see that. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because of the importance of the church. Now, there's a need for commitment, and it's not faithfulness. When we think of commitment, we always just jump to faithfulness, but that's not commitment. Can I tell you? You can be faithful to a lot of things and not be committed to anything. Okay, but that's what we always yoke it to, is just being faithful. And I want to give you some thoughts about that. See, we need commitment today, and to the church house. The church is important. I don't know about you. I know everybody's life's different. Church is my life. Okay? Now you say, but you're a preacher. Yeah, but church is, I've never known nothing but church all my life. All my life. And I'm very thankful for that, okay? Now, a lot of my memories, or should I say even most of my memories, has been wrapped around church. My life memories. Now, even though I've had jobs, I've got memories of jobs, I've got memories of things like that, but my life, my family, has always been wrapped around church. Now, I understand Pumbo being a preacher and Daddy being a preacher. I understand that may have a lot to do with it. All right? And I'm not saying this being negative to nobody, but there was a time when my grandfather was unable to attend church, and then some of my family had decided not to go to church, and I was the only one in church. All right? Why they left or quit or whatever, that's immaterial. How long it was is not material either. The point is, I did not, and I'm not saying that braggingly about me. Me and Cheryl's talked about this many times. There was a time that her mommy and daddy stayed at home and didn't go to church, but she still went to church. Can I tell you, my best memories are at church. My longest memories are at church. Being at church late, being at church when Daddy counseled, being at church when Popo counseled, being at revivals, everything in church, when there was something going on to church, and you was automatically volunteered because you was the preacher's family. I mean, there's things that happen, like some of these, I look at Greg and Maria, all right, they got three wonderful kids, all right, especially Lexi. Okay, all right. I don't know about Levi and Luke, but you know they're always volunteered because Greg and Marie is in church. All right, you understand my point. Sometimes things come in, but I believe that there's enough in them boys that if Greg and Marie didn't go, they still go.
Yes, sir.
All right, because that's all they've known. I'm not knocking anybody down. What I'm trying to tell you is there's some importance here about being with the body and the importance of the body. Does everybody follow me? See, I got saved and got to be part of the body. And then I was baptized and was brought into the local body.
Right.
And I found my wife when the body was together.
Yeah.
Right. So I got one of them homeborn regrets. Yeah, I got homeborn. In fact, we went to church together. Wasn't looking at one another. If the other was looking, but we went to church together. If I look at her, she turn her head. She look at me, and I turn my head. Her mommy and daddy come over and sing for my papa, and I'd run up there and want to be in there where they sing. I could care less what they sung. I was up there to sing that brown-eyed girl up there. That's what I was up there for. And she'd look at me across the living room, and I'd hang my head, and I'd look at her, and she'd hang her head. Right? But I met her at the church house. I met her when the body assembled together. Right? So the body was important, and we was brought up serving the Lord together. We weren't perfect, but we was brought up serving the Lord. Are you following anything I'm saying? And there was just something there. And that's where I learned commitment. See, I learned how to live the Christian life at the church house. And I learned the right way to live and the right way to talk and the right songs to sing at the church house. I learned the right road to travel, the right path to take. I learned where to get my direction from in the Word of God at the church where the body come together. The part of the body taught me as my brain tells me, my heart thumps and gives me blood to get through. Then there's parts of the body that give me strength and taught me how to do this. And I learned by others that was in the body what commitment was. And it wasn't just being faithful. It was commitment to things. And I learned there that I needed commitment to my spouse. And I needed commitment to my job. And I needed commitment to my children. That this is where I learned all that was in the church where we all come together. I didn't learn that from one person. I learned that from everybody. And I'm not saying this derogatory toward anyone, but I learned what to do, what not to do because of the body. I learned that, well, that body ain't working right, so you don't do what that body's doing because that body ain't working right. And you learn these things, but we're coming together. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is I don't learn it by myself, that you don't learn these things by yourself, that we learn this being together in one body, and this is where I learned commitment. All right? This is where I learned. And that's what we're trying to get to, is commitment. All right? Everybody understand that? If we're going to give you a title tonight, it's going to be real quick here. It's going to be The Keys to Commitment. Some keys to commitment. Now, again, we don't understand sometimes, I think, what commitment is because we always relate it to faithfulness. I know a lot of men that never missed a day's work, but they wasn't committed to work.
Yeah,
amen. Okay?
Yeah.
That wasn't their commitment. Their commitment was to payday, 40 hours. All right? But work was the furthest thing from their mind. All right? So it ain't faithfulness that we're talking about. We're talking about commitment. See, I thought about the soldiers, and I thought about the ones who didn't come home and laid down their life. They didn't go for the president. They went for the country. They went for everybody. And you that went to serve and are veterans here tonight, you went for the people. You didn't go just for you. These guys that charged machine gun nests and was shot all to pieces to save their buddies, they didn't go for themselves. The guys that jumped on grenades and was thrown into the foxhole with all the other guys, they didn't do that for their own selves. They done it because of the commitment that they had. That's something that pushed them further.
Right.
It wasn't just having a uniform on. It wasn't just standing in attention. It wasn't just going where they said to go. But it was the exercise or the duty or the work involved. Are you understanding? The commitment goes further than being there. Though you got to be there, sure, but the commitment is not outwardly. The commitment is inwardly. And me and a preacher, well, I'll tell you, when I was in Tennessee a while back, maybe last Christmas, me and Marcus's pastor, Preacher Fowler, we were talking, and that's a growing church down there. It's like we've been in the past. It was a growing church. They had a few, and then things just started going wide open, and they went like from 100 to 400 just in this couple of years. And they don't run buses or nothing. They can't run buses. They don't have room to run buses. They don't have no room to put nobody, or they run buses. But what we was talking about was the younger ones. Now listen, young people, if you're younger than me, if you're 40 and younger, or say we'll just go there, we'll just stop at 40. There's a difference in commitment than they are with the older ones.
Yes.
And you probably see it anyway yourself, but there's a difference. There's a difference in Tom Kessler and the teenage. There's a difference in Tom Kessler and 25-year-olds. Some of you young couples, I was going to tell you, you're good men. I think you're all good people. But there's a difference in Tom Kessler, Charlie Sanford, Gene Thomas. There's a difference, Steve Fairchild. There's a difference, John Johnson. There's a difference in some of these men. Yeah. Steve Dorsey. There's a difference in the integrity. Clark Woods, Rick Childers. There's a difference in the commitment. Not downing no one. All right? Not downing no one. Trying to show you. Does everybody follow me? Because it's not... It's just how we are. They're just a different. And the younger generation loses that commitment. Each generation, it seems like, loses something. See, when World War I took place, they didn't even know where Germany was. A lot of men went to war, didn't even know where Germany was. They didn't know. When they said about the Kaiser... Speaking of the German emperor, the German ruler, they said, well, what's a Kaiser? Right? They didn't know. When they talked about going across the water, Marvin Smith told us about the feller that they went and preached to, and when he was coming by the Ohio River, and they went across, he said, I reckon that's where them people come from. Right? And Marvin then said, what are you talking about? He said, ain't that across the water? That's where our people come from. Right? He thought... And that was the ocean when he seen the Ohio River because he had never had been out of the holler before. All right, so follow me now. Humor me a minute. Everybody still with me? But they was a call for a commitment. And even though they didn't know, they was a different integrity there. All right. World War II come, and then some of the men that was in World War I was in World War II. They hated war. They hated the death. They didn't want to see it happen. But they went again to keep their children from going. And they committed to a different level. Are you following me?
Yes,
all right? Then, when the glory days of War II was over, all right, when Korea came just a few short years later, 5 years, 6 years later, all right, and they wouldn't call it a war to win and call it a police action, then commitment started backing off. The men went committed, but the country wasn't committed behind them. And then when Vietnam come along and they called it a police action instead of a war, not intending to win, but political, the men still went committed because of the same integrity, but the country backed completely away to spit on them when they could come home. See, commitment is not in the outward action. I want you to understand, it's not the faithfulness, but it's a thing of the mind, a thing of the heart. Are you following me? Well, we've lost that in the church house. We've lost that in the home. There's no commitments in home. And if this is you, I'm not meaning it. I'm not meaning this to anybody. But the multiple marriages are more since the 60s than it ever was. And along we go now that it's not even being married. It's shacking up. And then you just, the reason people shack up is because that's the best they can do at that time. If something better comes along, they don't have no trouble to get along with somebody else. And like dogs in heat. That's what shock-ups are, like dogs in heat. Okay? Just so everybody understands that. All right? But there's no commitment. The commitment ain't just going home every day to where your spouse is. Okay? But there's something inside. I think that's what we're lacking. I think that's what we're lacking in the home is to our commitment to our children. All right? Well, we went out and ate dinner today, and Hannah noticed something. We went to that Italian place up here, and when we was leaving the parking lot, there was a little boy out there in the parking lot by himself, wasn't no grown-ups nowhere around, and he was over playing beside a building, no grown-ups around, and just playing in the dirt like you would be in a sandbox. And Hannah said, "Where is that kid's parents?" And we looked, and there wasn't nobody around. Well, I wasn't going to go away. I didn't have no business going. I didn't know what was going on. But there he was just over minding his own business, but he's over playing on the soul round. Well, there's no commitment to children.
Right.
Are you following what I'm saying? There's no commitment to children. There's no commitment in the home to spouses. There's no commitment to children. The commitment to the Lord and church. And we're not talking about faithfulness now. We're talking about the commitment of the heart. That there is a difference today when it comes to the things of God, because we're bringing it into a personal thing, that it's my personal relationship. It's my home. I'll do what I want when I want. It's my kids. I'll treat them the way I want to. Nobody's going to tell me. If I'm a Christian, I'll go to church if I want. I'll serve them if I want. It's my personal relationship. And that's what we've been telling everybody. And I think we've been telling them wrong, because it's not. We're in this thing together. We're in this thing together. And our commitment has changed. Huh? Our commitment has changed. See, commitments are not supposed to be changed because of circumstance. Okay? Commitments should never change. All right? They should never change. Let's run over right quick to Daniel. And we're just going to give you a couple of thoughts. But we're going to have to dig a little bit, because our mind's working. All right, so we're going to give you a couple of things here and quit. Look in Daniel chapter 1. Is everybody okay? Everybody follow me? Am I making any sense to you? Let's stop there. Before we go to Daniel, let's go to Luke chapter 9. That's Luke chapter 9. Am I making sense to anybody? Luke chapter 9. Let's look at verse 57. Luke chapter 9. Now, my heading says another test of discipleship, but I want us to look here. There's a few words here that the Lord puts in here that He don't put up with. Luke chapter 9. Let's look at verse 57. It says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest." Well, that's a good thing, ain't it? Everybody think that a good thing?
Yeah.
I think it's a wonderful thing. Well, Jesus didn't say yea or nay. He just said, and Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." You better understand what you're saying. That's what he said. Understand what you're saying. And he said unto another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Jesus saith unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." See, we're living in that "let me first" generation. We're living in that "let me first" mentality. We're living in that let me first attitude when it comes to God, the things of God, even in the home, even with our children, in the church house, on the job. Even on the job, on a secular job. Let me first. Everything has done been personalized. And I'm afraid we missed it. Are we still okay? Think about that. Suffer me first. But I just couldn't help but think about this thing being corporate and not personal. But there has to be a stand. Sometimes it will be just one person, all right? But when we're talking about commitment, is how far we are going in a commitment. Look in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. There has to be some standards. We know that. There has to be a line drawn in our life. I understand all that, okay? We're in this together. Daniel makes a statement here, and he makes it for himself. There's other people follow because they was with him. But look here in chapter 1, verse 8. We know this so well. It said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, Daniel done more than dedicate himself. He made a commitment. Let me understand that. His commitment was to a holy God. Everybody follow me there? Now, with that commitment, we're going to give you a couple of things here real quick in just a moment. But remember that commitment. Now, a lot of things happen. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego got in there with him. You know, they all had the same commitment. All right? We read over in Daniel, and we'll see where Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was thrown into the fiery furnace. And because of their commitment, that they wasn't going to bow down, there were some things that come their way, and they come out not even smelling like smoke. That's good. That's a little bit more than faithfulness. You agree? A little bit more than dedication. There was a commitment made somewhere that the circumstances wasn't going to change it. That the sacrifice wasn't going to change it. That they made a commitment. All right. When I got saved, I made a commitment. I come into the body of Christ to serve God. Yeah. Now, whether people like it or agree or anything else, if God's not first in our life, then we're wrong. That's just period. He's got to be first. If we're a Christian, he's got to be first. If he's not first, then something's out of order. Okay? Something's out of order. But that's where the commitment comes in. All right? I still see these guys jumping in a foxhole on a grenade because of commitment, not because of faithfulness. I still see Herschel Woody Williams when these men are pinned down, getting a flamethrower and attacking six machine gun bunkers and taking out six machine gun bunkers on Iwo Jima, a good old West Virginia Congressional Medal of Honor boy, that he went, and the reason he done it is because they couldn't handle all the machine gun fire, and there was a commitment there to do, and he knocked out one, okay, I got that one, I'll go do another one. And he wasn't doing that for somebody to pin a medal on him, he was doing that because of a commitment he made. Alright? I see that. Then I look in at the church house, I look at the men and women here in the church, I look at you, I look at me, I look at us and see our commitment and see the cause of Christ and the things of God and what must move on and what's coming along behind me. Alright? Woody Williams done what he done for me and for these boys and for you that generation, that under that generation. Are you following me tonight? It carried on, look in Daniel chapter 6. It carried on this far. How far did Daniel's commitment go? How about verse 10? Chapter 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't do it new with an attitude. He just done what he committed he's going to do. Didn't matter. The circumstances was not in his mind. The situation, what was going to arise, was not in his mind. But he just went and done it aforetime. Said, okay. Everybody does what they need to do, but I pray 3 times a day. I'm just going to keep on praying 3 times a day. Huh? What's good about it is verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. Well, that's what they had found him doing before. Huh? You know why? Because he was committed. There was something there. Are you following me tonight? So let's look at commitment. I'll give you 4 things real quick. All right, and we'll go home. Let's look at what commitment means. Commitment is a state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity, an engagement or obligation. Listen to this now. That restricts freedom of action. Did you catch that? That commitment restricts freedom of action. Commitment means that I'm not free to do what I want to do. Because I'm committed. Everybody follow me? That's what the word means. An engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. It goes on and says, unwavering dedication to a goal, target, or something you set out to do. Now, this is what it said on the definition. It is said if you put a but, B-U-T, next to a goal, you're not committed. If you say I'm committed, but, no, you're not. Well, I'm committed, but no. No, you're not. If there's a but next to your goal, you're not committed. And I believe we're living in a day where there's no commitment. There's no commitment to law. There's no commitment to obeying the law. There's no commitment to enforcing the law. There's no commitment to punishment for the law. There's no commitment. There's no commitment to work. There's no commitment to family. There's no commitment to children. And there's really no true commitment to God as a whole body. All right? Parts of the body does, but can I tell you that some of the body don't work right? That means the part that does work right is hindered. All right? We still okay? All right. Let's look over Psalms 116. That's where he was this morning. Is everybody still okay with me? All right. Keep the commitment. Well, I just looked up, like I say, looked up some things of what brings things about. And it's amazing what you can find if you go study. Commitment, it requires a reason. Every commitment requires a reason. You understand that? Commitment. When these soldiers that committed their life and died for us, there was a reason for it. It wasn't haphazard. Nobody's committed to something just haphazard. Just flops up. There's a commitment there. It requires a reason. Listen to what it says now. Commitment requires a reason, requires a deep-seated passion, a strong principle, or a desire to make a difference. That's what commitment means. Everybody catch that? Let me say it again. Requires a reason, requires a deep-seated passion, a strong principle or a desire to make a difference. That's what commitment is. Now, when I look this up, what a commitment is, what brings up a commitment or a key to a commitment or whatever you want to call it there, the first thing I found was accountability. First thing it said, to be committed, there was going to have to be accountability, but it's a personal accountability to the body.
Right.
Everybody understand what I'm saying? Personal accountability for your action and progress. Psalms 116 says this. We want a reason for our commitment. How about verse 12? If you don't have this marked in your Bible, you ought to have. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Got a reason. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. So the first thing, for first key to commitment tonight is accountability. Somewhere we got to be accountable ourselves to the body. To the body of Christ. To Christ, the head. See, Christ is the head of the body. Can I tell you that when we're accountable, we got to be personally accountable to Christ and one another. I ain't in this thing just with Mark. I'm accountable to the body. You know, I'm not just not the pastor of this church. You know, I'm a member. You know that? I'm a member too. But it ain't just this church. I'm a member of the body. That means, man, this is awful, ain't it? I'm accountable to Emmanuel, Calvary, Red Star, Virginia Street. You know that when I witness for them. You know when I witness, I witness against them too. Are you following me? See, I'm talking about the body of Christ. We got a local body, but this ain't the only ones going to heaven. The part of Mountain State, huh? When I go to Tennessee, see Marcus. I'm accountable to Pleasant Beach Baptist Church. When I lay a track down, I'm accountable to Pleasant Beach Baptist Church. When I go in a restaurant and lay a track down, when I was in a barber shop down there at Levi, told the people about coming to church, witnessing the people, didn't know them, but you know who I was witnessing for? I wasn't trying to get them people to come to Mountain State. I was trying to get them people to come to Pleasant Beach Baptist Church. Huh? You know who I was accountable to? Then you know how come? Not because I was committed to Pleasant Beach Baptist Church, but I was committed to Him.
Right.
And the whole body. Does that make any sense to you tonight? How about the second thing is consistency? Commitment requires accountability. I better take notice of what I'm doing. And then consistency. The quality of always behaving. Now, listen to me now. Listen to commitment. We're not talking about faithfulness. We're not talking about being dedicated. We're not talking about what we like, what we want. We're talking about commitment. It's accountability for my action and progress. It's consistency. The quality of always. The quality of always. Behaving or performing the same way. Consistently. Everybody okay with that? Demonstrating a pattern or a rule without exception. Man, we can go a long way with consistency, couldn't we? Can I read that again to you? The quality of always behaving or performing in the same way, demonstrating a pattern or rule without exception. I know I've told you this, and I'll tell you again, just for a good example. There was a man at John Offenberger's church up at Cashmere. The Cashmere up at, what is that, Lewisburg? Turn left up Lewisburg, go that way. All right? He was a committed follower of the Lord, and he was a committed member of Cashmere Church that they never, he was always there. He was always there. All right? Well, one Wednesday night, and John, the pastor, John Offenberger, told this over the radio station, he didn't come to church one Wednesday night. Well, they didn't have church. John went to see where he was at because he knew there was something wrong. And he had wrecked his tractor, and the tractor was on top of him. He was dead out in his field. But the only reason they found him, because he wasn't at church on Wednesday. There's the only reason they found him. And John said, if he ain't here, something happened. And they went and found him in the field with a tractor on him dead. Now, that's more than dedication. That's more than faithfulness. But that's a commitment somewhere. Somewhere there's a commitment that he was accountable always and consistent because he behaved and performed the same way all the time. Are you following me tonight? I just think there's a difference. Now I'm going to go ahead and say this just so you'll get more of the gist of it. If the doors of this church are open, there's a few that will always be here. It don't matter what the weather. It don't matter the time of day. It don't matter the time of year. There's going to be a certain few that's always here. There's a difference in commitment and faithfulness. Yes. The next thing is sacrifice. Key to commitment is accountability, consistency, and sacrifice. Right? Willingness to sacrifice. Paying the cost in terms of time and effort, regardless of the results. Sacrifice. Willingness to sacrifice. Not just sacrifice. Willingness to sacrifice. Right? See, I've watched some of them old movies, and in fact, when I was in high school in American Studies 2, we watched war films. And we took tests and things on war films. Roger Eads, Coach Roger Eads, bring films in, and then we'd be tested on them. He would show actual World War II footage and Korean War footage and things of the war. I mean, it was people blowing up and dead and everything, you know, laying everywhere, D-Day, everything. And so it was American history, too, so it was good. All right, that's what we were there for. All right. And when we think about some of the old ones, we looked at American history, the Revolutionary War, they used to fight stupid.
Yeah.
They'd all get in a big line, and they'd all just, if 1,000 people over there walking toward 1,000 people walking this way, and they'd just shoot at one another out in the open field. That was really stupid. You know, they'd just fall over. Well, them guys were scared to death. They was made to do that. All right? They was made to do that. But when a man jumps in a foxhole on a grenade, he's sacrificing, not worried about the result. See, there's a difference in lining up because you're part of the army. There's a difference in marching because you're told to march. But that you might be faithful. You might be. I'm talking about there's another step. Everybody follow me. There's another step when it comes to commitment. Of jumping on a grenade or charging the machine gun nest or finding your flamethrower and going to the bunkers and all of these things. I think about two of the men and I think I got this right. I'm going on memory now. There was two of the men that were shot down and left in the water at Midway battle during World War II in the Pacific, and the Japanese got them. And the Japanese rescued them out of the water, and they, I forget their names, I used to know their names, but they was on the deck, and they was trying to get information of them, and the Japanese said what they said to them wasn't very nice. And they tied them to an anchor, or a piece of metal of some sort, tied their hands behind their back, and both of the men that was rescued wouldn't give them no information, so they chunked one of them over in there. Well, the weight just took them down, drowned them, killed them. And it's in your history book. You can go back and read it. One of them was an ensign. I forget what the other one was. But anyway, the other, knowing what was going to happen, he was committed. So he sacrificed, not concerned about the result. And I think he may have been the one, maybe he spit in that fella's face and they just chunked him over and he drowned. Or these are the men that died for our freedom. All right, I'm wanting you to understand that there's a different commitment today than they are then, or now. A different commitment. And it bleeds into the church, and it bleeds into our service for God. It bleeds into our everyday life with husband and wife and with our children. There's a commitment. It ain't just the way we was raised. Okay? That ain't it. It ain't just the mountain mentality. It ain't just that, because a lot of these missing in action was from New York, where we don't think that God exists, and California, where we don't think God exists, and some of these places where we don't think that God's even alive. But these are the men and women who give their life. I want you to understand tonight, I'm just preaching on the keys to commitment, is accountability, consistency, and sacrifice. Does that make any sense to you? So we'll quit. Think about it. We'll see you Wednesday.